Okay, it's Tuesday night, July 6th.
May the Lord be answer your blessing on our meeting. That there would be a flow of revelation, a flow of light on your truth, O Lord. That your spirit would just overshadow whatever our thinking is by your spirit, Lord. You do that good work. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Amen.
I talked about it a little bit on Sunday, but Friday night something happened I haven't been a part of for a long time. And we started to pray, and Mark and Linda and Sue Paulson and Judy and this body, Chris's. And as we're praying, it got funny. You know, it got like maybe there could have been a spirit. You know, something that it could have been okay, and maybe it wasn't okay. And turn the other light on too, Chuck. And anyway, and Bonnie Christensen was sitting. I was sitting in the front pew where I usually sat. And she sat right behind me, or she was standing right behind me. And she had her hand on my shoulder. And as we prayed, it got real like it used to. And Judy Holmes was getting kind of gigglish. You know, I mean, because she does that anyway. And the next thing I knew, and Bonnie Christensen was, instead of tapping me on the shoulder or praying for my shoulder, she was going like this, and pretty soon she was hitting me. But it wasn't hurting, you know, I wasn't uncomfortable. And I never really said a lot to him afterward, but as I got thinking about it, I know what happened. We had a visitation from the Spirit. And it wasn't a bad feeling. It was a good one. And I think that, you know, we've had a lot of times over the years when the Spirit has fallen upon us. And it was that kind of a thing. And see, I looked at these people, and none of them are happy or really thrilled with the churches they go to. But they've changed so many times, they're not about to change it, go here. And which is fine. But anyway, as I looked at them, I saw something in each one that I have not been able to see. And I see it in you guys. But I've never seen it in them before. I've never seen it in a lot of people. Serious. They're serious. And that was the thing that that voice asked me. Which, you know, if you're really serious. And I thought to myself, well, of course I am. You know, I've been serious for years. I realized that I wasn't. None of us have been. But anyway, Bonnie, you know, whatever happened there, and I could really feel it. You can really feel the presence of the Spirit. And I don't know that she was really expecting something like that to happen. And when I left, she just had a funny dazed look on her face, you know. And I got thinking about it. In Ephesians, maybe, the fifth chapter. Put my Bible from the right hand there. I would say it's the fifth chapter. And verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Why does it say that? Why does it say that?
Good advice, but...
but be filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you can't read between lines, and you can't put in something that don't belong there. But is that suggesting that with the Spirit there is no excess?
I see him. He's expressing, he thinks that there are parallel experiences, drunk on wine, drunk on the Spirit.
Yeah.
The thing about the Spirit is there's no excess.
Yeah, and the thing that we talked about Sunday morning a little bit, Charlie, in the second chapter of Acts, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the observations was these people are drunk with new wine.
All right.
And so we're trying to think of why. What's the difference between new wine and old wine? But apparently, you don't put new wine in old wineskins.
Right, don't do that.
Or you'll break them.
Right.
You put new wine in new wineskins so that they can move together. Because the new wineskin is still flexible, you know. And so, why don't you put, why do they look like they were drunk on new wine? When my brother Clayton got filled with the Holy Spirit, we're up to my uncle's, and we'd been up there a number of nights, and my uncle and my aunt both got filled with the Spirit at some point. I don't remember when. But when Clayton got filled with the Spirit that night, and he come. And I remember he was sitting over a chair or kneeling against a chair, by a chair, and he came over to by me, and he had this wild look in his face. And the next thing I know, he gave me a great big hug, and we smashed to the floor. Down we went, and he was drunk.
Sure.
And the night that I got filled with the Spirit. You know, you could have said I was drunk. I was in such shape afterwards that Joanne had to drive the car from Seattle Center home. I couldn't. And I remember that, like this Bob Payton, and Bob Cortell and I prayed for him. And he was wild. You know what I mean? He was just a wild man. And so I'm thinking that there's a lot of things of the Spirit that we're not familiar with.
Or you can't describe and account for in natural terms.
Yeah. Yeah, these men are drunk, as you suppose. You know, and here they are, they're speaking in all these different languages. And then people that want to believe what they want to believe are saying, well, the reason that people spoke in these tongues is so that these other people would understand. But if that's the case, then we got a lot of scriptures, like in 1 Corinthians 14, that tell us something else.
All right.
You know, they didn't speak in these languages so people can understand.
Well, some probably did.
Yeah.
I mean,
but not the services that Paul's talking about there in 1 Corinthians 14, though, I don't think.
Oh.
He's not contemplating
You know, because it actually says that it implies that tongues can be in a language that you can speak to somebody and they understand you. But it's also can be in a language that nobody understands, you know. Sure. Most of the time, I think that's the case. That's only a special ministry that happens whenever the Lord, for some reason, would want that to be done, you know. But it's not the norm, you know.
No. But we have the tongues with interpretation.
Yeah.
It becomes equal to prophecy. And...
But see, that was as big of a kind of miracle to them because they knew they had lived totally other places and they were coming to Jerusalem for the feast and spoke in a language that none of these guys knew. That's why they were amazed.
Yeah.
You know, because they shouldn't have known how to speak that language anyway. So, you know, that's why some of them could hear it. We hear them speaking in our own tongue, but they are...
Parthians,
and these guys are from Jerusalem. They're not part of that. They don't know that.
You know, that was a wonderful setup, wasn't it? That should have happened, the falling of the Holy Spirit, when it happened to be that there are all these people from different cultures there in Jerusalem celebrating the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
You know?
You'd almost think that God has something to do with that.
Is that a coincidence, or?
You know, I've been reading all around that setting, and it's not meant to be isolated, of course. You know, the part about speaking to one. Well, do not be drunk with wine, in which is mine says in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Sounds like a good service.
Yeah. Then the next part comes, which we won't look for long, but wife, submit to your husband. Yeah. It's amazing why that follows that. I don't. That's kind of seems a little odd.
Yeah.
Or context or something. But probably not to the Lord.
It's an issue.
But I mean, I went back and it's that whole chapter is kind of really setting some standards, you might say, in the Lord, you know.
First Corinthians 5, Ephesians 5.
Yeah. I mean, back in 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the truth of the Spirit is on all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And it's slowly coming down to the, you know, that's in 10. So there's, you know, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine. So, I mean, you know, it's quite of a build-up to that area in the scripture there.
I don't know. We didn't look up. I know it says in the King James, wherein is excess. it'd probably be nothing. But I don't know how the other translated.
Well, mine said dissipation, which I'm not quite sure how you interpret that.
To dissipate something was to remove it or to.
Yeah.
Do I have a Bible there?
Well, someone ran off with the. Oh, there it is.
Well, dissipate means slowly disappear, don't it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Or fade away, or.
Yeah. Dissipate. I think it's when you just go down a steep hill morally. You're wasting your life away.
Well, that would make sense.
Immoral conduct.
Because it's saying, don't be drunk with wine, that's a waste.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, like, you'll slowly dissipate into nothing.
Yeah, like melting snow.
Yeah, I it comes to that, I guess, doesn't it?
I want to see the day when we're speaking to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in here. That's what the worship service should be, probably, you know. I don't know, for sure, but.
One of these versions, a couple of them say debauchery.
Oh.
Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Another one says, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions. Debauchery. Because it will ruin your life.
When you read the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you are warned against excess in spiritual realms. I mean, you're warned against it. Let all things be done decently and in order. God is not the author of confusion. What are some of the other things that put the end of that chapter?
It kind of covers it, I think.
That's the main points.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll think you're mad or whatever.
Where is that? 1 Corinthians what?
14.
The end of it. I don't know which verses.
Well, in 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. But then, that's about it.
And they, verse 23, it says, will that not say that you were out of your mind?
What verse?
That's 23.
so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel.
Well, nothing about the things that God gives us is natural.
No.
Nope. We're trying to see it naturally. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing natural about what happened Friday night. And I can't really say anything happened.
But who knows what goes on in the spirit?
Yeah, but I really had a good feeling. And I saw, you know, a future. And I looked back at what happened to us years ago. And I never appreciated what happened. You know, people were slain in the spirit. And, you know, people hit their heads and hit their bodies. And Burl Morrow hit his forehead on the corner of the piano. You know, he was standing there praying. And down he went. And nobody paid any attention. But he took a good thing right to the forehead. And he went down and did he wear glasses way back when?
I don't know.
It is a wonderful thing when the spirit moves. I did it seem to be moving? You say Judy Holmes was giggling, but was it with others too? Did they seem
everybody?
Everybody, huh?
Yeah, everybody was. Everybody was praying.
Uh huh.
But it was a different nature of prayer.
Uh huh.
And I mean, what they were praying was good. I mean, they weren't praying for any dumb things that I was aware of. But
my feeling is there was always kind of an agenda, which wasn't necessarily a bad agenda, but kind of prompted. That's not the moving of the spirit. That's something different.
Yeah. Know? Well, this was different.
Yeah.
I've been to all of the things that we've got, you know, where we've got together over there, and this wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And I left. They were still praying when I left.
Yeah.
So
Well,
you know what? They want to make it too. That's the thing I began to realize.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
They got some. They still have some strange ideas, but you know what? They want to make it. The thing that really affected me is that the male person.
Yeah.
That this time of night.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think she's a new driver. Because she's the same one that was at our house. So I think she's just a new driver, just learning the route.
I
haven't seen her before.
Special stuff.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Good or chicken?
Yeah, once you run out, see if there's any mail truck. Don't lock any doors.
I won't lock any doors.
Just go see if it's actually male.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it was actually male. And she was heading out, so.
You know, they certainly have been faithful.
Yeah.
Good night. Continuing to come, and
yeah.
So I guess it's not shouldn't be too super surprising if the Spirit should really move during those prayer meetings. I haven't been coming.
You know what? That's okay.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to look it over. I really wanted to.
You know, what I have felt a little in the last few days, though, is I was going to suggest to whosoever, but I think I'm going to try to start coming about 10 at least and praying before service.
Yeah.
I think we should. I mean, I think some of them I know they'd probably like to have a prayer meeting too. When mm-hmm. That would be the most easier time maybe to do it, just come earlier. You know.
Maybe, you know, we used to do that. You know, on Friday night, you know, service would start at 7:30. We'd come at 6:30 or maybe 6:15, start praying. It was good. It's a good kickoff for the service. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, the first few months of 1982, we prayed a lot.
I think I remember in the old church back in 1979, they'd come and pray. You know, we prayed.
You know, one of the biggest problems, and especially with me, is the age.
Yeah, well, shouldn't be impossible to get there at 10 o'clock in the morning, though, on Sunday.
I can get there any time.
Right.
But I think maybe, I don't think it'd be too hard for Bonnie to probably come and Charlotte, wouldn't they? It'd be nice if
they had the option anyway, or whatever.
So. How about Barb? Would she like, I think
she could. She could if she tried hard enough.
Yeah.
But she's slow in the morning. I mean, we're supposed to be somewhere.
She's good.
And sometimes we're leaving just a few minutes before we're supposed to be there to be at Eau Claire. You know.
Yeah, so. See, that's what you get doing special deliveries.
She's come.
Who's that?
It's you.
Oh. Okay, so special.
I know what it is.
It's clothes. Some kind of clothing?
No. Let me tell you what it is.
Weird. I don't know.
He probably has a bad age. It's what? Dry ice?
No.
Venison sausage?
Sausage.
Sausage sticks.
Yeah, those are the ones.
Okay.
I don't know why we didn't get them.
Somebody likes to eat them.
Somebody else likes them more than me.
You're that,
Oh, I eat them, but.
He's hanging up the cord or something.
Yeah.
Do you feel it in your bitch?
Yes. Well, then when you said smell it, then I thought, oh yeah, it's nice. I thought maybe they were fire stickers.
They did a good job of hiding the smell.
Yeah.
I got something that don't hide the smell really good. I got at least one skeleton by my garage.
Oh.
You got one in there?
I don't know where he's at. And then I bought the stuff over to the apartment fleet. It wasn't really expensive, but $10. And it's a spray bottle like the. You know, and I thought, we're in there, so I said, the Curtis was with me. I said, why don't we get that bag to spray the holes and try it? Because what it is, and it lasts for quite a while. Don't sure the tape on, but you spray it in there, and then it bothers their nasal system.
Mm-hmm. It bothers them?
Yeah, yeah. It won't kill them, but they can't stand the smell.
Sure.
And if a skunk gets around the same time, it's not bad.
Yeah. Well, we did something to get rid of that skunk here. What was it?
Yeah.
Was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
Did you spray it with that scent?
Yeah, I was doing that, and then part of it too, I think. We're kind of getting off the spiritual side here, but some of it was the way the water was. It was, I think, the water was coming out of it and going right into the hole too.
Rain. Off the rain.
Yeah. And then we did stick a flat rock in there too. That probably.
Well, I tried a lot of things to get rid of that skunk.
Oh, I've heard it. Yeah.
I had a radio. On a rock and roll station. Right by the window inside your office.
Yeah.
And I played rock and roll music, and the people said that they don't like that. He seemed to like it. Mm-hmm. Probably the neighbor kid probably did too. But
Anyway, that's a good idea. 10 o'clock.
I just thought I need to get obligate myself.
We can do it, but the older you get, the harder it is.
Yeah, well, that one ought to be a pretty easy one, though. You know, I got things I got to be at 10 o'clock. I manage all right. You're right. It's, of course, I'm not as old as you. But.
Well, it's not like it's early.
No,
it's not super early.
I'm usually there by then anyway.
Are you? Yeah. Are you? Okay.
But I probably never really won't talk about it. Probably know what you might be.
I'm not necessarily praying, though.
Yeah, and it makes it harder if you're there for a long time. That you have.
Well, if you kind of decide that's what the order of business is,
13.
Order of service or whatever.
But you know, it's a funny thing. You know, misery loves company, and so does the opposite.
Chapter 6. Number 6.
It is good when there are a number of people
13,
through whom the Spirit is moving. That's just a good. It's a good thing.
You read it.
It was good in I don't know what year we started. I don't even know how we started or what happened. But people were getting together every night for prayer. And Joanna and I'd be over there until 5 or 6 o'clock, and at about 8 o'clock she'd come home to put candy to bed. Mm. You know.
You got something there, Glenn?
No, Chuck's going to read, right?
What? Did I read it?
Yeah. Read 13:6, all the way down to. I'll tell you when to stop.
He spake also, this in it near this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why? Covers the ground. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if that bear fruit well, if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down.
Okay.
I thank the Lord that he's willing to give us another shot.
Yeah.
I just thank the Lord for that.
Well, I
got more patience.
I had an experience that really helped me. And just a strange thing, but I heard, you know, about about Raglan, and they go to the what do they call it, something faith,
apostolic faith
church. They call ourselves now just a faith church, and they looked a lot different than the last time I was there. And but anyway, by going there and becoming part of a certain system, it made me question what happens to them. You know, like, okay, somebody dies, what are they going to make it or not? And I don't know, you know where I heard this. It could have been at the funeral. I'm not sure. But Ray was sitting there like the night before he died. He was looking off into the, gazing off into the, the corner of the room or something. And somebody said, you know, one of the boys is a dad, what are you looking at? He says, I can see a bunch of clouds. And somehow he says, and I can see Jesus' face in the clouds. And I thought, when you're at that stage, you don't make something up. You know what I mean? You're actually seeing, you see something. And a strange thing, but it gave me hope. You know, Joanne Wagenius came back and they witnessed to Ray and a number of other people, and Ray got saved. And I thought they said 1958, but it couldn't have been because I was buried in 57. It had to be 68. But anyway, and so he served the Lord pretty faithfully after that, you know. And his boys all got saved, and his and their kids, you know. And Rick, the youngest one, lives down in Texas. And he has I think a son or a daughter, I'm not sure, that's a missionary somewhere. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, we can say few there be that find it, but it might be, the few might be a lot more than what we think. I hope it is.
No, I'm sure it is.
There's one place that says that there's a number that no man could number. I think it tells us that in the book of Revelation.
So Glenn, why did you have Chuck read that?
Did he finish?
Yeah?
Yeah, Chuck finished. Yeah.
He must have had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the, see how things are going, but it's been kind of in my mind on and off most of the week, and I've been getting little feelings or input on it from my own personal, me, you know, pertaining to me, okay, like, I'm the tree. Okay? Jesus, he's the caretaker of the vineyard, and God's the owner. Okay? And I'm that tree. Well, not bearing good fruit, he wants to, you know, cut me down. Well, but Jesus says, let me work with him for one more year. Let me nourish him, fertilize him, and see if he produces in a year. You know. So it's kind of come to me that, yeah, I need one more year, you know? And with the right care, you know, you're going to produce fruit. You know, but it's been hanging on me for about a week on this, just to, you know.
And I think
I'm the tree.
Yeah, and it could be more than a year, depending on each person. You know, I don't.
Oh yeah, right. But this is just mentioned a year and here, and that's kind of
the further period of time.
Yeah.
Right. He's not ready to give. Jesus is not ready to give up on me yet.
Right.
You know.
It's a good thing to know.
You know.
Yes, it is.
So I mean, I
know what you mean. You can come across places like that, and God just makes you know that that's relating to you at that time.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And it gives you hope. You know.
Yeah. And having Chuck read it.
Yeah. Sure.
You participated.
Participated. Oh,
you know.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yeah, and you did good.
I did good.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So,
maybe next time I have a scripture I want to refer to, I'll have Chuck read it.
Hey, listen, you can't get it yourself. Yes, and else,
well, that's actually going on with, you know,
sure.
If you heard it about 5, 6, 7, 8
hope.
Times.
Hope for people, you know.
It's,
yeah, we can have hope.
Hey, there's a deer.
Oh, yeah.
Quick big wreck. See it, check?
No.
He's there. She's there.
Didn't see no wreck on him, huh?
No. But she was that look back over her shoulder. There's some power.
That's the difference between Chuck and me. Honesty.
Oh. Yeah, it's just one get a glimpse of the buck is home.
Not yet.
That's why I believe that Chuck was 400 yards away that time he got that.
I can't see this part, Chuck, and I saw the deer.
Well, nonetheless.
Nonetheless, hey, listen, seriously.
My experience is that when Chuck says something, it's the truth. So.
400 was a long shot.
Yeah.
I was surprised I killed it. I was surprised I killed that deer. Because it was a long shot. And it was, it hit the deer perfectly.
Indian.
It was about.
We're kind of wandering tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
we're straying from.
Looking,
that's some good things, but
look for the tracks down where the deer ran, and it died. That was great because it the shot was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was dead on the hook.
There ain't no bother them anymore.
No.
Okay, we love you.